So I'm sitting in the traffic trying to get home from Ibrox. So as per last season, when I decided I would record the podcast, we've got a new guest for the podcast. Many of you will know him from Twitter. His original username was Henrik Vegamura, more commonly known as Henrik Vegetable. Henrik, how are you doing this fine Saturday afternoon?
I'm doing all right, mate. You're pretty well on a Saturday. Actually sober, watching a Celtic Rangers game. Fantastic.
So, tell me, how was the game? How did you enjoy it?
To be honest, I thought the first 15 minutes or so, we came right out of the traps. I thought it was going to be very easy. All those bets, minus one, looking very comfortable. But I suppose they competed a wee bit for half an hour or so. If you call competing, just them floated over us. I didn't really think they were under any danger at much point. And ultimately, second half, the class showed itself again. And it was fairly easy in the end for me.
You talk about competing. Competing meant not getting a doing, because in the first 15 minutes, I just didn't think they could cope with anything we were doing, any of our movement. Passes, they couldn't cope with anything.
Absolutely. But I mean, until you get that first goal, you never know how it's going to go. So, for anything else, watching these games, they can be a wee bit nervous, but it certainly seemed as if everybody at the park was having a wee party, which is a wee bit more fraught, I think, sitting at the house, watching it in the couch, as I say, especially with no beers. But I really enjoyed it, mate.
I don't like watching. I can't watch games on the big games on the telly, because the stuff happens, like a ball gets flashed across goal at the game, you know that's all right because there's nobody there. On the telly, because the telly follows the ball, you can't see if there's a Rangers player coming in at the back post. That's what makes it more nervous.
I think that's always been the case, mate. Always been the case, but at no stage today was I particularly worried about anything. Half chance at the back post for Morales for the Tavernier ball, but other than that, what of note did they do?
So I was at the game, so a couple of text messages at half time. So questions on this first half, when Griffiths was claiming for a handball and they got a goal kick, was it a penalty, a corner kick or a goal kick?
It's a corner kick, mate. It came out on the boy's head. He didn't know anything about it. It certainly slapped him in the hand and rolled out the bar. But for me, it would have been a corner kick all day long. But if I was the referee, it would have been a penalty.
Okay, right. On to the one where there is, it's Morales, isn't it? The Mohican-haired guy. Yeah, Morales goes in. Simonovic is about to put in a tackle, but stops. From what I saw on the Broomhorn stand, what it looked to me is Simonovic pulls out of the tackle, Morales is expecting the tackle and dives.
Well, he jumped over him, so everybody obviously, if you've not been there, every man and his dog is claiming for a penalty. Andy Walker spit, and the various pundits, I think even Robin Krantz obviously agreed, and Chris Commons agreed it was a penalty. For me, if you're going to say, I'd have shouted for it, but certainly when they gave it. If you're going to be doing the right, he was jumping to get either way. Well, for me, then that possibly saying it was obstruction. He's going to give up.
I think the referee probably called it right, wouldn't have clipped
in any manner.
I mean, it was genuinely half time. I got a text saying they could possibly have had a penalty, and I had to scratch my head what they were talking about, because they'd had a claim and then it had just gone by.
It'll be the talking point. I mean, it's just the way football is. I mean, pick on an incident and making it a larger thing than it was. For me, it was something in the box. He went to make the tackle, he did go out, and the guy jumped over his legs. So I don't know how you call that as a penalty. But as I say, with my green vintage specs on, I'd have been shouting for it the other end. That's just the nature of it, isn't it?
I just have to say, I'm currently in the car on the junction of Govan Road and Golspie Street. And the old Govan Arms, which anybody who knows it, it's a big Celtic fan pub. They've got a number of scarves tied to a pole with a sign saying we are all Lee Griffiths.
I thought Lee Griffiths was excellent today. I see them rob a bogey on a I see them with a scarf. He must have got a handful for his mum and dad. The boy just can't help but get involved. Good to love him for it. And that there, 67 league goals and 100 starts, phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Although, seeing that for the first half, he wasn't really at the races. I don't think he played that well, but definitely for me in the second half. And for me, looking at the match itself, I thought Scott Brown was head and shoulders our man of the match, even though the TV gave it to Patrick Roberts.
Oh, TV gave it. Now, see, here's the feedback I'm getting. So I've come from the game, I've been in the car listening to Radio Scotland talking about how that's Rangers now under Pedro Caixinha, lost 9-1 in aggregate over three games, two at Ibrox and one at Hampden. So they're 9-1 in aggregate down under Caixinha and yet to play at Celtic Park. Talking about how he's wasted £8 to £10 million on transfers, how they are no better than they were previous last season, and how at least you knew the system that Warburton was playing. They don't seem to have a system under Caixinha. And I'm getting texts saying that Sky are saying the gap between the two clubs has narrowed.
I think they're just clinging out the fact they didn't get an absolute doom. The gap is as wide as it's been because we've got better. And I don't know, they're competing a wee bit. They've got that wee hothead up front. I think it's a goal scorer. Who's that marquee signing? Burns. Absolutely anonymous in that game, as I say. Brown dominated that midfield for me. I thought Armstrong played really well as well. For me, Roberts definitely had their throwback on post the full game.
Brown absolutely bossed that midfield. I mean, they've got the guy Peña, who, you know, I have heard from someone who's very close to Graham Dorans that, you know, he maybe enjoys a night out every single night before training the next morning because it smells like it. And they had him on, they had Peña on Brown, and he just couldn't get near him. I just thought, we absolutely bossed. The thing about closeness, we annihilated them. We absolutely battered them. And I've just heard the stats. 18 shots, 7 on target is apparently identical to the stats for the 5-1 game, the last time we played them.
It was. We just lacked a wee bit of quality in the final third of the day. They just no quite there, but it could easily have been 4 or 5 easily. I think every man in his dug was betting Celtic -1, 13-8 or whatever it was, you know. So there were a few boys having a beer on that result tonight, that's for sure.
I was a bit disappointed because I actually had Celtic to score but to win by more than 5 goals, so I'm slightly.
Yeah, that is what's been called a greedy bastard.
Oi, I don't think so. I think the gulf between the two teams. Do you know what I noticed?
You probably stuck a fiver on that when everybody else that's sensible will be sticking 50 quid or 100 pound on -1 and paying for their night out.
Ugh, there's no point in betting if you're not gonna go for it. Also had Boyata to score as well, any time scorer.
Well, it's good to see him back. He's a definite threat for set pieces. And he looked a lot sharper today than he did during the week. But as I say, that'll come. It's amazing looking at the bench. The problem players like Cham and you're certainly been barely the bench. I mean, it's as strong a Celtic squad as you can recall. There's no doubt about that.
The gulf between the two teams for me was demonstrated when I saw that team and I saw the bench. The first thing that went through my mind was, all 7 of our subs were getting their first 11.
Probably about it. I mean, it's a common joke. I mean, their third sub came on, and I did not think the guy I was watching the game, and genuinely say, who is that? I have no clue who it is. I know people say that all the time, but for me, he had to tell me, I think he's maybe a youngster that go to Man City. Don't know. But that's fair. And hopefully the results go in the right way. I think if Hearts and Hibs and Motherwell all do their business today, they could drop any sand.
Yeah,
which would be nice.
That would be nice, although we've got to be careful because we don't want this guy getting the sack too early.
That is true. I mean, you'd go back at the hard time run as hell ago for good or for bad, and God bless the guy. The best thing that ever happened to Celtic was him leaving and Brendan coming in, but long may Caixinha reign, and hopefully They're back in a deep financially too, in terms of his contract and the money that they've put out, that they're stuck with this lame duck.
Do you know the thing? The other thing that really struck me today about him, if we just talk about them for one moment, was Stephen Kenny Miller came on. See, for the next 5 minutes, anytime I sort of looked across, I looked to see, just genuinely, you know, when you're in Brimlone Lear, you see a lot of the game in front of you. And every time I looked, for about 5-6 minutes, Kenny Miller didn't seem to know where he was supposed to be, and Coutinho was obviously telling Kenny Miller he was supposed to be somewhere else on the park.
I think you could extend that to Kenny Miller for probably the last 5-6 years of his career. I just think the hard-working boy, but the legs have gave up, and still, that was probably one of Strachan's greatest ever things he'd done as a Celtic manager, was sell that guy. How did he get £3 million back in the day? Goodness me. Fair play, he's carved out a career as a headless chicken, so, and done well with it financially, so maybe he's the one that's got the last laugh.
And it's talking about headless chickens, because that's the other thing that I couldn't get my head around, how they were playing, the system they were playing. So we obviously play the ball out from the back, and they let us sort of do that, but Morella's job was obviously to close down. But since we've got a keeper, and effectively we go between Simonovic, Boyata, Brown and the keeper, that sort of, there's a triangle of, well, not a triangle, a rhombus or a kite or whatever shape. Between those four, they've got Morales running around to close that down, but the rest of the team's sitting back. I couldn't quite understand. They're either closing down or they let us play. I didn't quite get that system.
Running around chasing the ball like that for a strike, I mean, that's the kind of stuff you used to do under 14s, under 15s, and then you get out there for 30 minutes because you were blown at your backside.
So, all of that went on, and then, that was it, just before half-time. So, Morales had been getting more and more agitated, he got, you know, for stuff. And just before half-time, I think Gordon was playing the ball up, and Morelos ran behind Brown and then just fell over, holding his face.
Scott Brown's a past master at this. I mean, Scott Brown's cute with it. Whether it's deliberate, I would suggest Scott Brown knows what he's doing, but he's not calling me any malice for that. The guy's certainly made a meal of it. And then obviously, Mark Pedro, he's decided to make an issue of it and confront Brown. But that to me is just annoying control, practically the galleries. And I think they asked the question after the game, did you put Brown in his place? Well, I think the second half will demonstrate exactly what it done nothing, because we came out and dominated the second half.
And actually, the one thing about Scott Brown is something like that is going to motivate him to play even better. If you don't understand that about Scott Brown, then you don't understand anything about football and about the way that Celtic play.
That putting on the edge is what the boy does, and that's what he levels in it. Take that away from him, he's half the player in the battle. There was a wee moment in the first half where he dragged the ball under his feet and said, I think it was Roberts, off on a run, and the guy can actually play football. Nobody has to think about it too much, but it can certainly do it in the moment. So I just thought today it was absolutely excellent. Everything you wanted again for your captain.
Absolutely. And so, first goal, talk me through the first goal.
I mean, realistically, the ball came in for the corner. I think it was a Griffith and Armstrong, heavy players. Patrick Willis is a bit swing.
Talk me through the first goal.
Well, as far as I can recall in my mind's eye, the corners came in. I think probably Armstrong or Griffiths. Header player, Willis has took a 3.5 swing at it. The ball's bobbled through. Rangers' new world's greatest centre back, whatever his name is, it's went through his legs, it's dropped at Tom Rogic, and he's done what he does, and that's he's wrapped his left foot through it and buried it high into the top of the net. At the same time, the Rangers defender has kind of jumped into it, Reggie Blinker style, you know, half heartbeat.
Yep.
So not the greatest moment for him, but from that moment on, it's party time, and I'm sure in the stands he's enjoyed every bit of it just as much as we did watching.
Yeah, I mean, I've put a thing on Twitter which a few people have disagreed with, and I know it's being harsh, but you have to summarise in 140 characters. I thought Rogic was pretty anonymous in the game, bar that goal.
He definitely drifted out of the game for a good 25 minute period or so, but the guy creates chances, he plays on the front foot, so sometimes he's going to drift into games, but what he does when he does drift in, is win you games.
Oh, I mean, when the ball dropped him, the way that things have been going, you know, in the game so far, I was expecting that to just, you know, one of those shots that just skims over the top of the bar. So it was great, with great delight that it was clearly hitting the back of the net and went no further.
absolutely. It's just nice to get those members tucked away at that point there. You know, looking at the best team in Scotland, standing up and showing everybody what we're all about.
Yeah, because once we go 1-0 up in that type of environment domestically, you just cannot see then coming back into it. I mean, the play was held up shortly after the goal because some fanny threw a flare onto the park.
I've seen that. Listen, these things happen. I'm not going to get too wound up about it. Anything that annoys the other three stands, I'll take a little bit of that.
So, after that, at one each, was it one each where Gordon pulled off the save that he pulled off?
Well, I think it would have been, but I'm happy to be corrected on it. For me, I thought there was a push with Kenny Miller at the back post before I went over to him, I realised, and he just threw his arms up, made himself big. That was definitely the most clear-cut chance in the match. Everything else was a half-hearted 30-yard shot or a ball across the goal. Other than that there, I don't think they'd really anything to know the full game. In fact, the stats
would
tell you, one shot on target, that was it.
But that was it, so that was our shot on target. That header was their attempt on goal. And then the second goal, so my memory of it was Gordon goes to McGregor. McGregor, nice pass to Roberts. Roberts, lovely inside pass. Griffiths, fantastic goal. So talk me through it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think McGregor's picked up near the halfway line, put it into Roberts. He stepped forward. Played the pass in the perfect way, and Griffiths, to be fair to him, he slid it just into the keeper's left foot with his right foot, and then Griffiths has done what he does, and that's really enjoyed at the moment. He scored a goal against the Stench, which was fantastic. Thankfully somebody thrown a wee scarf onto the park for him to pick up, which was always good, and him and Bruni had a lovely time making their way down, smiling in front of their main stand. I don't think it's their main stand, whatever they keep most of those chimps. They had a lovely time walking down the halfway line.
Because obviously, at the game I'm celebrating, and then when you come back, they were going fucking mental.
Yeah. Is that not the best part of winning these games?
Brown picked up a coin, tossed it, put it on his arm. Tossed the coin, put it down on the back of his wrist, on the back of his hand thing, and then looks at it. And the lines from the referee had to go and move cups and bottles and everything.
Oh, you're missing this. I won't get out in the wash on social media. There's all the wee gifts floating about. I've been missing out to see my friend Manila, who considers himself the funniest guy in the internet. He's not. His wee Twitter account at Katy Puniero, that's KATIPOONYERO. He tweeted a wee bit there. Griffiths certainly picks his nose and wipes it on their fly while he's taking a corner. So that's nice. Nice wee moments like that. certainly good for the fans.
Do you know what? I was listening to the radio after the game, and they're saying, oh, well, the only thing you can say different to last season is at least Rangers didn't give up once they went 2-0 down like they did in the 5-1 game. They kept going, they kept trying. And I'm thinking to myself, no, once it went to 2-0, we bossed the game even more. They were nothing. I actually couldn't make up my mind whether they chucked it or whether they were just so unfit that they couldn't keep up with us. No, I mean, we just kept passing it backwards and forwards. They've got one striker up front, Morales, whose job is to close it down, and nobody else's job is to close it down. So he's chasing from side to, and we're just passing it from side to side. So he's knackered.
As soon as they're taking some positives away from the game, the main positive they can take is for half of them in the first half, they competed in a home match against a rival by extending maximum effort on the back of spending apparently £8, £9, £10 million. So you're speaking the best by the fact that you can compete for 45 minutes and keep us to a clean sheet. Well, good luck to you. We'll see what that does for you in the grand scheme of things.
I just don't see how they can take any consolation. I genuinely don't. I mean, we bossed that game, 18 shots, 7 on target. We, from the minute we went 2-0 up, the only other possible outcome in that game was for us to score more than 2. There was no chance that they were coming back into the game at 2-0. I just can't see what they can take out of it.
Well, they say you can't polish a dub, mate, but you can roll it in glass, you know, but it's still a dub.
So, I mean, to me, playing Rangers now is a bit like playing Hearts or Aberdeen.
That's the new thing at this stage, no question about it. As I say, people are probably overconfident in these games, but you look at the stats, 56 games unbeaten, they've not won 3 games in a row. No matter what way you cut and slice it, we hadn't lost domestically for going on two seasons.
Yep.
So the maths tell you that the value on offer today for the bookies was really, it was paying money. It really, really was.
Do you know, people say things like form goes out of the window in big derby games.
Bollocks.
It doesn't. It doesn't. If you look at when they were better than us in the 90s, most of the time they beat us. It goes out.
That was a different
club, mate. But it goes out of the window as much as form goes out of the window when Celtic play Hibs, Hearts, Aberdeen or St Johnson. Once every so often, we're not up to our best standard and they play to their best standard. And once every so often, they get close to getting a result. But that's not form going out the window. That's just we didn't play as well as we could. And they did.
And ultimately, the invincible thing, that will stop because a bad performance, whatever it may be, that will stop. But it doesn't really matter because you look back, we had an invincible season last year. What are we supposed to do? The double invincibles, we've done it. It's just good to the fact that you don't want to lose that momentum in a match against the lesser rivals.
No, I mean, that's the whole thing. I accept one day we're going to lose a game, right? Because we just will one day.
Probably when you go to Munich and Paris again.
Yeah, well, do you know, that's the thing, right? So one day we will lose a game and one day we will lose a domestic game. But I know that's going to happen. But see, right now, I just can't think when that one domestic game's going to come.
It just takes an opportunity like that by Morales incident in the first half. If that incident's 10 minutes to win the game and it's nothing each and somebody gets a penalty and they score, that's how these things come at an end. You can't control everything just by your performance in the park.
No, but having said all of that, although one day that defeat's going to come, I just don't want that to, I don't want it to be against them.
It was good to see the fans as well, Molly Gate, those Union Bears again, with a nice big banner. What was it their banner said? Let me see. I've seen their big banner. 3 letters emblazoned on their breast. RFC. And their counter banner. 3 letters emblazoned on your grave. RIP. Fantastic stuff, getting to know these things in advance. Must be so annoying for these Union Bears, all that hard work. And then somebody gets a wee hit.
nodding a wink to what they're up to, and then we unfurl that just to noise them up and take the wind out of their fan sails.
See, I was in the Broomloan. I was in the Broomloan rear, so I'm oblivious to this. I didn't know that we'd done that.
It's the front of your stand, mate. Three letters emblazoned on your grave, R.I.P.
I mean, it's
in that lovely green brigade font.
I'd seen theirs, but I just didn't see ours.
Well, that was the choice, mate. As I say, I'm sure once you get home and you gorge on social media and radio over the next day or two, you'll get to see all these wee moments that make up the fun part of winning.
So that's who was so Brown. You, like me, have Brown man of the match. Was there
definitely? I thought Sinclair was quiet for peers. I thought the second half he grew into the game. I thought he was absolutely terrific. Had Tavernier on absolute toast for most of it, and it must be disheartening for them to see Griffiths getting off, and you've got McGregor coming on, you've got Dembele coming on. It's and that poor wee guy who got ran ragged by Roberts, and then he's got the fresh legs of Forrest to face. It's a tough old shift for him. Oh, I would say as well, the part off his slippy underfoot, did you notice that again?
I actually turned to the guy next to me and said, are we wearing slippers today? Because I think they slipped a couple of times, but we seemed to slip far more than them. There was two occasions where we slipped at key moments. There was Armstrong in the first half when he was through, and then somebody did it in the second half when they were through as well. Was it Griffiths or Forrest?
To be fair, Armstrong wasn't the one for the highlights, really. Just kind of his feet went from under him. And speaking of for the highlights, so one of the best moments was obviously when Josh Windass decided to, on the back of a challenge for Kieran Tierney, to take out his manager.
Oh!
That was a nice wee moment.
Do you know, that's going to turn into a gif, and the other thing that's going to happen about that is, if any press photographer got that picture, they will. That sums up. You know, like Tony Mowbray was not going to be a successful manager, but also things went wrong under Tony Mowbray as well. You know, so when things are going badly, they continue to go badly. And I just think, see that wee bit, that wee moment, and if any photographer got it just as Coutinho's up in the air.
That's just the gravy. That's what you look for.
Yeah.
That's the absolute gravy, the cherry on the cake. And that's what I'll be looking forward to watching. I watched it in the Neighbours today, so not a Celtic fan, not a Rangers fan, so it's interesting. You're watching it with a neutral, but you see it the same, 5, 6, 7, any score you want if you really need it.
So we've got, so that's that. We've got the game against Anderlecht now coming up midweek.
Yeah, we've got a double end with Anderlecht, which is effectively UEFA qualification campaign for after Christmas.
It's Europa League stuff. I mean, I was disappointed that they've sacked their manager just so. It was just, 10 days away, not like 2 or 3 games away. You're just a wee bit.
You're always feeling the dead cat bounce when a manager goes.
Yeah. But they're mid-table. They sold their best players just before the transfer window. Was it not that they lost their player when Mbappe was sold to PSG? Did they not lose their star player or something?
I'm not even going to pretend to say that.
No, I don't know either. I only know because somebody told me that, so it's not. I pay no attention to any football other than Celtic, which is actually the thing about just very quickly as an aside, when I was watching the Rangers Thistle game when they drew the other week, was you realise what the problem is for lesser teams. Because when I'm watching a Celtic game, I'm only watching Celtic. So you're not really paying attention to what the lesser team does. And you realise, because you're watching, I didn't watch all of it, I watched about 20 minutes of the Thistle Rangers game, and you're thinking, when Thistle are coming through, just play that ball. And the guy plays the wrong ball, and you realise the difference between the quality of players that we've got and one of the biggest differences in the players of lesser teams like Rangers or whatever, they just make the wrong decisions when they're in key moments in the game. They make the wrong pass, they play the wrong ball. That's the difference.
You tend to get what you pay for in life, unfortunately. As you say, we're The gap between us and the rest of the league at times is the same as the gap between us and PSG. I mean, it's just the gap's exponential here and the gap at the upper echelons. We're trying to compete as exponential, so we're kind of caught in the middle there.
Yeah, although the difference when a lot of the Scottish media last week were making a big thing of that very point of the gulf between Celtic and PSG is the same gulf between Celtic and Ross County. I felt that what they were missing out on is football is a game of weakest links. You know, all statistical analysis of football is, you know, like in basketball, for example, you sign a really top player. If you sign the most expensive player, you're likely to win some, you know, the whatever they win in basketball. I don't know, World Series, whatever. If we signed Neymar tomorrow, we still wouldn't win our group in the Champions League. One player wouldn't make that difference. But if we make our inferior players better, that gives us a better chance.
Listen, we've got a manager that's improved guys that have to go inferior to the point of where I actively assess several of our players. You know, a lot of it's down to the management as well. Our guy is all about making the best out of what people's attributes have got and improving them. He's a coach.
Aye.
He's a coach, there's no doubt about it. I think he likes to spend money, I think he'd like to spend more sometimes in the Champions League. He's still got a handle on that in these big games, you know, go defensive against Barca, take a doon, go a wee bit offensive against PSG, take a doon. So we're definitely learning there, but you can only learn by being at the races.
Yeah, but the point I would make about the lesser player thing is we couldn't afford the most inferior player in the PSG team. We couldn't afford his salary. But
Their top guy in terms of value is a PSG youth player.
Yeah, but
Ross
County can afford to pay the wages of our most inferior player. So there is a bigger gulf between us and PSG and us and Ross County in terms of money.
Back to the original point, we've got this game coming up next week and we've just got to go there and we've got to go toe-to-toe with them and we've got to come back to Glasgow with something. And if we come back with something, then I would suspect that might be enough, given our last game against them at home, to take us into Europe after Christmas, which would be the realistic goal that I would imagine Brendan's trying to set this year, because I know he's all about setting goals.
Oh, I think that is one of his 10 targets, whatever it is. And that's the point I made in the last podcast. We had the League Cup. We had Ross County, the League Cup game, the Rangers game, and Anderlecht. And I think I said, if we win those four games in a row, then we are favourites for the... We become favourites for the treble and favourites to be playing football after Europe. And if we were to win in Belgium, you've got to say we are favourites to finish at least third in the group.
No, absolutely. I mean, let's be quite blunt about it here. We're just in the September weekend. We're aligned to Rangers this season. They're done. They've got nothing to bring to the table in terms of competing. Going for 55, I noticed they don't really have many day banners up at this moment in time.
No.
Never had them on the stand at the start of the season. So we'll just have to get on with our business. Two games away to the first cup again. If you can knock that domino, you might end up sitting here a month or two's time talking about invincible again, possible trebles. But for me, the main goal would be get a couple of decent results in Europe and get there beyond Christmas. That would be the main thing for me, I think. Although the trebles are nice.
Oh, absolutely, they are nice, and I think Brendan likes setting history at Celtic. I think he'd quite fancy a back-to-back treble.
Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, I was at a wee thing during the week there when Brendan was speaking at it, and he was asked about any player through the Celtic, for any other Celtic era that he would have in his current team, and he just went on a nice wee 5-10 minute anecdote about Paul McStay, how that was his hero, and how he'd met him when Paul was over for his dad's funeral, and how he'd come into the park with his shirt and tie on, all humble and all that carry on. But Paul McStay was probably my hero growing up. He was for many people in my age, so it was good to hear Brendan say that. A lot of people wouldn't agree with it, but it was a nice wee story that he told about meeting Paul. thing that Brendan Rodgers was speaking about during the week there.
Right, so what's your expectation for Tuesday night? A draw? Wednesday night, sorry, Wednesday.
I'd take a draw. You know what we're like, we're always liable to concede a goal when we're travelling away. But, listen, if I'm going to make my first prediction ever on air, I'm going to go for a victory. So I'm going to say 2-0 to Celtic and actually keep my clean sheet. Don't know why, but that's what I'm going to do.
All right, well, with that, Henrik... Vegetable stroke Vegemura. I will say thanks very much.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Cheers.